Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed what? Kibble, that crunchy stuff, those little dry pellets, that raw wrapped crap, kibble, raw wrapped crap. Hey, we should just make a brand like that, Dr. J, raw wrapped crap. And yeah. if we said it was beneficial, make your dog the best it's ever been. Somebody's going to believe us, even if we say raw wrap crap. Because why? You're not reading labels, ladies and gentlemen. Read the labels. Would you do me a favor? Would you go and take a look at the kibble that you've been feeding and tell me on the label which one of those ingredients are super beneficial and possibly detrimental to your dog's health? Can you just tell me which ones? And then we're going to talk about complete and balance. It's the only way that I can get people to snap out of it and say, well, I don't really know. And I say, if you don't really know, I can tell you anything. And this is the problem. We are listening to people that are telling us anything and everything, and we are taking it as truth.
Right. So how do they know that kibble is so much better for their dog? Why are they questioning raw and they're not questioning the kibble? They're just believing the marketing. They're believing the nice, cute TV commercials and believing what their veterinarian is telling them and not investigating. People need to read the ingredients. And if you can't pronounce any of those words, then you shouldn't be feeding it to your dog if you don't know what it is.
I had somebody the other day, Dr. Jasek, and they were like, you know, you just really... you know, you don't like veterinarians and you know, you're just saying this against him and that. And I said, listen, it's not that I don't like them, but I like pets being healthy. And if they are going to say things that are untrue, unfounded, unresearched, I'm going to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to, as we talk about all the time, Dr. Jasek, vaccinate unhealthy dogs, I'm going to call it out. And so are you. Because you know what? We're in the pet health business. So I'm not going to apologize. My sweetness pet parents, some of you that don't like the fact that we call out the veterinarian protocol. Because you're listening to the show. Why? Because you want healthy pets.
Right. And are the protocols working? People come in to see me for a different approach because they've been down the more conventional approach and it's not working. Their pets are not getting healthier. They're oftentimes getting sicker. They're, you know, coming up with more and more cancer and autoimmune disease and all these other things. So I don't ever argue with success. And if all the stuff that was being done in conventional veterinary medicine was working and pets were just amazingly healthy, I'd be doing it too. Great. You know, but it's not working and pets just keep getting sicker. So why shouldn't we be calling that out and at least questioning it, saying, look, this is not working. Pets are getting sicker, not healthier. So to me, it just screams that we need to be doing something different. We need to be finding a different way, but conventional medicine, they're just so stuck in their box and in their paradigm of just suppressing symptoms. And long-term, that's all conventional medicine does is it suppresses symptoms. I mean, and I would challenge anybody to come forward with a case where some suppressive drug, like, you know, prednisone or Apoquil or chemotherapy or even things like antibiotics ever cured anything. All as they do is create temporary symptom relief and the pets just keep getting sicker and symptoms keep coming back. In the short term, yeah, it's great because for emergencies, your pet's, you know, sick or hurt, and, you know, you use the conventional approach to get them stabilized, long term, it doesn't cure anything. And that's why pets keep getting sicker.
Dr. Jasek, right now we are going into itchy season, season for dogs. I think that people get really confused this time of year on what is an allergy, what is a food allergy, and what is possibly leaky gut. So I get people that call me all the time, and we're going to, you know, get a food menu ready for them. And the pet parent says, well, they can't eat chicken, they can't eat pork, they can't eat duck, they can't eat turkey, and they can't eat fish. I'm like, my next question is always, did you just do an allergy test? Does your dog seem like it's allergic to everything? Quite possibly, we have a leaky gut or a yeast problem. So I do want to talk about that. But what do you see coming into your clinic in regards to itchy pets? And what are you finding out?
Well, I mean, we see itchy pets all the time. It's just so common. And sometimes I think people also need to be realistic about, you know, pets do scratch some naturally, you know, so a little bit of itching, because I do see some dogs that people come in and they say, well, they're itching and their coats look great and their skin looks great and they just look super healthy. And so those are a little bit harder to pick apart. So, you know, dogs do scratch some, but for the more typical skin dog where we do have inflamed skin and thinning hair coats and maybe some, you know, some skin sores, you know, I'm more convinced than ever that this is a gut issue primarily, that we have to be looking at healing the gut, supporting the microbiome, not doing things that destroy a healthy microbiome. And so people just, and I see this all the time too, people automatically blame the food. Well, and the first thing that a lot of people do, and even, you know, if the dogs could be on a, you know, good diet, raw diet, fresh food diet, but then the knee jerk is, well, they start trying different proteins because it must be the chicken or it must be the beef or it must be the turkey. And really what it is the gut and the leaky gut. And that can be exacerbated, especially this time of year, with new things in the environment. So if your dog's out there sniffing around and they've been spraying, you know, glyphosate to kill weeds, which is going on now, that was originally patented as an antibiotic. So that's getting in the gut, that's disrupting the microbiome. I was telling you, Didi, before we got on, I was looking up the main ingredient in Bravecto, which is a common flea and tick preventative that's taken orally. And I pulled up the MSDS sheet, which is the material safety data sheet that's supposed to, you know, give all the nitty gritty information. And I'd encourage people to do this. I just looked up the active ingredient and Googled MSDS because this has to be published. And this has all the chemical breakdowns, all of the potential side effects. So for this particular medication that is being given to pets orally, says right on the MSDS sheet, may be harmful by inhalation, ingestion, or skin absorption. So wouldn't that make you wonder if that's actually safe for your pet, may cause long-lasting harmful effects to aquatic life. And my favorite, to the best of our knowledge, the toxicological properties have not been thoroughly investigated. They don't even know if it's safe for your pet or not. So that's why this stuff is dangerous. And, you know, there's lots of cute commercials on the TV telling you otherwise, but when you really dig in and look, you're giving your pet a toxic chemical.
Are there any on that MSDS sheet, are there any other warnings that say may cause your dog's, you know, tongue to turn blue or blow up like a balloon or anything like that?
I'm not seeing that, but it has a whole list of, you know, first aid measures. So, okay. So this is a pill given orally, right? So description of first aid measures in case of ingestion: wash out mouth with water, provided that the person is conscious. That's a little scary to me. In case that this made them pass out, you know, never give anything by mouth to an unconscious person. Get medical attention. Do not induce vomiting unless directed to do so. So if they have first aid measures listed in case of ingestion, that's telling you that it's not safe for people to ingest this. Well, so why is it safe for your pets to ingest this?
Okay, so on the MSDS sheet, we've got warnings about how it can be harmful to pet parents, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, real food is supposed to be real food, as in raw dog food, is supposed to be extremely dangerous to pet parents. This is very interesting to me. We've actually got medical concerns on a product that is freely and happily and pushed onto pet parents.
Profitably.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
Don't
that
forget
P.
that one.
Yeah. I forgot the
forget
P,
that one.
The profitably. And yet this, now see, this is a great point, Dr. JC, because if I went into a veterinarian's office and they started haranguing me about raw dog food, how dangerous it was for me and my little kids, I would be saying, well, okay, can I just show you this MSDS sheet on Bravecto?
Yeah, right. You'd be their biggest nightmare, Dee Dee.
Voice said that I'm going to be like Project Veritas. I'm going to go in with a little microphone and a little video and just go around and ask these questions. It would be quite expensive though, right? Because I'd have to go in and pay for it and do it. But
when you can't go in, Dee Dee, you have to talk to him on the phone.
That's right.
These days you can't even go in still, which is another that's just so absurd to me that they're not allowing people in to, you know, go in with their dog. That's just ridiculous.
Well, think about this, Dr. Jasek. I was thinking about what the benefit is to not going in. Well, there's tons for them, but they don't have to answer questions, right? So you get a client in there, you don't have to do, or a patient in there, you don't have to do the informed consent. You don't have to answer questions, and time is money, right? So they're like, let's just keep those people out. We don't have to answer questions. I can get through this. I can do one dog right after the other. It's like an assembly line. Boom, right. Boom, boom, boom.
And, you know, I think too, there's a whole different dynamic when you're talking to somebody and you have to look them in the eye. You know, I get these stories about just the lack of compassion. People just, you know, a lot of the cancer patients I see, you know, they're given a diagnosis. And if they don't want to do any of the conventional protocols like chemo or radiation, they're pretty much told to just take your pet home to die. You know, no human decency and human compassion for somebody that could be potentially losing a family member in the not too distant future, and nothing that they can do, no hope, nothing. And I think that's way easier to do on the phone than just like, but people can, you know, rave at other people on social media and via email, but you got to look somebody in the eye and be that way. I think it's a whole different thing. And so it's, I think part of this is just laziness. It's just so much easier to, you know, handle one client and, you know, do something to pacify the situation and then move on to the next one. It's so much easier if you don't have to look them in the eye.
Right. And if all these people have the vaccine, then what's the problem?
That's right. We should all have superpowers. Well, not me, because I'm not getting it, but all those people that have the vaccine, yeah, should have superpowers.
Right. You're totally immune. Oops, no, you're not. You can't transmit it. Oops, no, that's not correct either. So anyway, sorry. Okay. All right. Let's talk about yeast. Yeast, as many say, it's the allergy imitator. So a lot of people think that their dogs have an allergy, right? And a lot of times it's coming from these gunky ears, Dr. Jasek, right? So they've got these gunky ears and they many times are going to say, well, my dog has an allergy to the food, as you were saying. But what we know is that it can be many different things. It can be heavy metals that are getting into your dogs. Okay. So pesticides, as you said, it could be kibble. It can be vaccinations, poor quality water. A lot of people don't think about this, Dr. Jasek, but I don't know if everybody knows whether they're giving their dogs fluoride in their water or heavy metals in their water. So there are other places that we've definitely got to look. And the other thing is yeast, right? So yeast is something that is good. It's in the body. It's a natural thing, but it's when the bad pushes the good out or overtakes the good. So if your dog has been on a round of antibiotics, right, that can definitely cause this yeast to flare up. So there's a lot of things that we're seeing in dogs that are causing this other than the food. And I think this is very, very taxing for the pet parent. They're constantly having to change the food, constantly looking at the diet. And that's the thing, Dr. Jasek. I have never, ever heard of a vet talking about, well, it could be vaccines, it could be heavy metals, it could be this. All they tell the pet parents that I talk to is let's do an elimination diet or let's put them on the hydrolyzed protein. That's right. That causes pet parents to go mad.
Right. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And, you know, when I see cases like this that have been treated over and over, I mean, rounds of antibiotics and drugs like Apoquil and all these different elimination diets, which is all, you know, all kibble is pretty much the same. You really look at the ingredients, it's all a bunch of processed garbage and mostly carbohydrate. And it doesn't even matter what the name is. They all have pretty much the same effect on the body. They're inflammatory. And so you're not gaining anything by trying these, you know, elimination diets based on kibble. And then, yeah, they never talk about what about vaccines. I mean, I saw a dog the other day that, you know, it had itchy skin and we had it pretty well controlled. You know, we were doing pretty well and dog went in, got a rabies shot in January. And now we're all flared up with supposed spring allergies. Well, and then they told her to do the elimination diet thing. And that made the dog even sicker and, you know, on and on. Typical, you know, a typical scenario, but you have to look at these other associations and not about the food. And are you doing heartworm prevention and flea and tick prevention? And anything you put in your dog's mouth is going to have an effect on the microbiome. You have to look at all the factors, and there's just so much more to the picture that just doesn't get recognized.
So a lot of people do something that they think is good for yeast infections, but it's really not. And that is using coconut oil, because coconut oil has a lot of lauric acid content, and lauric acid promotes inflammation in the digestive tract. And so what I was researching was, it was saying when they were doing all of this promoting about coconut oil and saying it was great, and they were really testing MCT oil. The reason that MCT oil is a better source is of caprylic acid. It's been shown to help that inflammation go down. Now, if you give too much MCT oil, you guys, you can get diarrhea. Okay, so let's not do too much of that. And coconut oil is really nothing more than a medium chain fat.
You know, I have tried in some cases where we have a yeast overgrowth using monolauric acid, but I get the monolauric acid supplement. So it's that concentrate. So we're not, because I think if you're trying to use that therapeutically for yeast, you'd have to give a lot of coconut oil. I mean, I don't know exactly how much, but I think you'd need to give a lot. And then it might be, you know, too much fat for an individual, or might throw some other things off nutritionally, throw the balance of the diet off. But you can actually get in a, you know, supplement form, you can get that monolauric acid. And if I were going to try that for yeast, that's what I would do, not the coconut oil approach.
Right. Right. The first thing you want to do, though, guys, is you want to get all processed foods out of your dog's diet. And I'm going to say this. I mean, I know that there are some toppers out there. There are people who still are buying the freeze-dried food that you mix with raw dog food. And so I always ask people, well, you know, why are you doing that? And I think that there's an idea that there's not everything that they need in raw dog food. So they're adding in one of these freeze-dried foods that have tons of carbs in them. And I've looked at those, and those are 48 to 60% sugar. All right. So one thing you want to do is definitely make sure you've got all of that out of your dog's diet. Another thing, Dr. Jasek, that some people don't know is that thyroid medication tends to cause this yeast overgrowth. Why? Because it unbalances the gut flora. What do you do, Dr. Jasek, if you've got a dog who's on thyroid medication, their ears are all red and gunky? How are we going to combat that if the dog has to be on those medications that's throwing out the gut flora?
If a dog is truly hypothyroid, like they really have symptoms and they do benefit from the medication, then, you know, yeah, it's a balancing act. But again, I think we need to look at other things that could be throwing off the gut microbiome as well. So that may be important, just like sometimes, like older dogs that are really arthritic. And sometimes they just got to be on some pain medicine to stay comfortable. So we try to minimize the amount of conventional meds that they need to be on. But then what else can we do to help support the gut and feed the microbiome? And that's different for different individuals, feeding the appropriate microbiome. So first of all, not killing it off with, you know, unnecessary medications, pesticides, et cetera, and not having them on any sort of inflammatory high carbohydrate diet. I mean, I think those are the most important things, but then sometimes we can benefit them by, you know, adding in that little bit of produce, maybe, you know, just some of that vegetable fiber or a little bit of the, you know, blueberries, some of the berries, some of that can actually help improve the health of the microbiome. So I think experimenting, this is more my approach, is feeding the right bugs, feeding the bugs that we want to grow. The real tricky thing is it's different for every individual. There's no one size fits all. And so that's where it's really important to not fall for the marketing. You know, the thing about yeast too, is yeast is opportunistic. It's everywhere in the environment. It's just kind of waiting to grow somewhere on your dog. If your dog is inflamed, it's not like a primary problem. It's secondary, but it does cause irritation. It does cause itchiness. So sometimes, you know, we do need to do things to address the yeast, but it's also important to remember it's not the underlying cause. It's, you know, the gut's inflamed, and we need to look at healing the gut and getting the body, you know, rebalanced, getting all the microbiomes in the body rebalanced. And then the body will also help eliminate the yeast.
Yeast loves to eat carbs and sugar, mm-hmm. but friendly bacteria love to eat starch, not to be confused with carbs. That's going to be the fiber that you're talking about, feeding the prebiotics. So they say, if you really want to increase those numbers of bacteria in your dog's gut, feed them with fiber. If your dog has a yeast problem, this one article that I was saying says avoid fermented foods like kefir, kimchi, and kombucha. And this one does say that you might think that these foods would crowd out the dog's yeast, but it says the fermentation happens when the carbohydrates and sugars and food are eaten by bacteria and yeast. So the prebiotics are much better than doing a fermented food. Do you have any thoughts on fermented foods and yeast?
Yeah, well, I think that fermented foods, a lot of times are used as a natural probiotic. So we're putting this bacteria in that's natural and we think it's going to be beneficial. But I don't always see the best results when pets are given a lot of ferments. And actually that's something when we have inflammation, I pull pets off of ferments because I see really mixed results with that. And I think that, if things are not going well, we have inflammation, we have itchy skin, or we have diarrhea or whatever is going on, again, we have to look at the microbiome and what effect are these bacteria that do the fermentation, what are they having on the individual pet's microbiome? And if we're throwing that off, if that's not what that particular pet needs, then we are setting them up for this, the yeast to potentially grow. Anytime we disrupt that natural balance in the body, then we're setting them up for inflammation and potentially yeast overgrowth. I think some ferments can be okay, but they're not this, great thing that I don't think should be given like all the time to dogs. I usually recommend to people, ask about that. I don't, we've talked about this. I don't recommend dairy if we have inflammation. We have a dog that's perfectly healthy and they have no symptoms and they're, people give them a little bit of yogurt or some goat's milk or something and they're perfectly fine, then okay. But if we have any kind of inflammation, I pull them off of dairy. I pull them off of ferments. I pull a lot of things out and just get down to the basic diet so we can figure out what does that individual need.
The second part of getting the yeast under control that tends to cause panic in our pet parents, because maybe they don't understand what happens when you have yeast die off. So you're starting to treat the yeasty beast. But the symptoms of yeast die off, diarrhea, the worsening of whatever the symptom was that they came in to see you about. Dogs can even have joint soreness or discharge from eyes, nose, skin, and ears. So we have to remember that if we have something going on with the body, it's got to come out, right? It's got to come out, or we've got to, rid the body of it so it can heal. So many times there's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, right? We get some diarrhea or worsening of symptoms, and then people put something else back in the body. So I think that it is a balancing act. And I love the advice that you always give is, how's your dog acting, right? If your dog is acting healthy. And I always say, take your dog's temperature, pull the lip up, push on the gums. Is it pink? Then goes white, then back to pink. Do you know how to take their pulse? That's the word, another P. The pulse, you just feel in the back of the back leg, up and inside that leg. And if they're drinking water and they're happy and they're eating, then just ride it out, right? Write it out instead of putting something else back in the body.
Right. And these reactions, which can definitely occur, I just as an example, that's on the more conventional side, that's, well recognized in dogs, is treating heartworm disease. Dog has, diagnosed with heartworm disease, and they give an injection that's actually like a derivative of arsenic. It's related to arsenic, very, very strong chemical, and kills these worms. These worms are actually living in the blood vessels around the heart. And so now you got a bunch of dead worms in the body. And these worms need to break up and the body needs to get rid of them. And, you know, they tell people when they do this treatment, like you have to restrict your dog's activity for like 6 months because it takes time for the dogs to be able to process all these dead worms. Well, it's the same thing. If you kill off a bunch of yeast or, you know, even bacteria, you know, I think, you know, sometimes we transition dogs to raw from kibble. We're doing this whole transformation on the microbiome, and some of the bacteria that we don't want growing in there are going to die off. And that's why sometimes, you know, they'll get a little diarrhea because they're getting all that crap out of there. But the most of the time, if it's that type of thing, it's like a die-off reaction, then you're going to start to see an improvement after about 72 hours. It's not because, like, you know, whatever you're giving them to kill the yeast, or it's not that the food is bad for them. It's that the body is going through this transition. And when we say it goes through like a detox, that's what's happening. Like we're killing off all of the bugs, or a lot of the bugs that we don't want growing in there. And then there has to be an elimination. And one of the ways the body eliminates stuff that's not good for it is through diarrhea.
I know that that can be frustrating for parents, especially when the dog's in the house, or maybe, you know, wakes up at 3 a.m. and poops in your room. Probably not the most fun, we've got to get through that period of time and let them get it all out of their body. You know, I have a customer, and God love her. I love this woman. She writes the best emails ever. I always tell her you should be a writer because they're funny and just colorful, her emails. But she has a German Shepherd, and this German Shepherd, now I don't have my eyes on the dog, so I can't tell the level of itching. But what she says is that this dog itches and itches and itches, and we've gone through a lot of different things. But here's the problem that I see, that this dog has never gotten away from Apoquil or one of the allergy medications, because she says, well, it's so bad, I have to do that. And so I feel for her because I feel like she's caught in a catch 22, right? So keeps trying to change the food and does everything she can, but with the pet on Apoquil or Cytopoint, and I think they go back and forth maybe, I'm just not sure you're ever going to get on top of that, right? So those symptoms may die down for a couple of weeks, but then they just come right back. So right.
You have to give the immune system a chance to re-regulate, because when you're suppressing it, you know, it's like holding your hand on a spring, you know, you're suppressing the immune system. And it, again, it's just purely symptomatic. It's not treating anything. And then you take your hand off that spring, well, it's going to bounce back like crazy. So you'll actually will get, as if you try to, you know, come off of these medications, and I usually do try to wean off of them, so it gives the body a little bit of time. But if you stop them cold turkey, you'll get a big rebound reaction sometimes, and they'll just itch really, really bad. And you have to work through that. Or you're just going to be stuck. It's like you said, it's a vicious cycle. You know, this suppression, you're going to be dependent on just suppressing the symptoms, unless you get them off and work through, again, all the underlying causes, all the stuff we talk about, getting the gut healthy, eliminating other medications and vaccines and all of this stuff. And you have to work through that. And then there's herbal support. I mean, there is definitely things that, you know, like put dogs on that will help, you know, kind of get them through this period, but you have to tough it out. It's the only way you're ever going to get them off of the drugs. Otherwise you're on this cycle for the rest of your life. And then, you know, we're going to end up seeing dogs that are on these meds, these suppressive meds, long-term, they're the ones that end up getting cancer and autoimmune disease, because they're they're constantly messing with the normal function of the immune system. So those drugs that suppress those itching symptoms are also suppressing the ability of the body to fight infection and eliminate cancer cells and things that we really need it to do.
Yeah. So what you have to do, guys, is we have to really get the dog's body as clean as possible, right? And I was talking to one of my Raw Squad employees the other day, and he was saying, right now, PetSmart is sending out their postcards. Hey, get your dog in. It's time to get your dog in. We got to do this, 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 and this. And again, we've talked about that many, many times. You guys want to think about it, really understand why you're taking the dog in. So beware when you get the postcards.
And don't just, you know, ask why. I mean, I hear this from people. Well, I got the card. They said that my dog was due for these shots. Like, well, did you ask, like, why? What's the real risk to your dog? Why does your dog need the shot? What are the potential side effects of that shot? You know, I see so many times people just get that card in the mail and say, well, my dog's due. And they just see, you know, be an obedient pet parent and go in and get the stuff done without asking the question, is this actually appropriate for my dog? And are there any adverse effects to doing this?
And there's so many homeopathic remedies out there, guys. If you, you know, just do some searches and gosh, I don't know, Dr. Jessica, even searching for things these days, I have to question what comes up, mm-hmm. right? Because what we have seen over this past year, obviously, is that all information can be suppressed. They can push towards a certain idea. But I think if you look at places like Dogs Naturally magazine, you look at Dr. Jasek's AHAvet.com, you come over to rawdogfoodandco.com. You just maybe use DuckDuckGo, which is what I always use, and start looking for different ways that you can keep as many heavy metals and as many fluoride products and pharmaceuticals out of your pet's diet. That's always my goal, Dr. Jasek, to keep my dog's diet and their bodies as clean as possible. And I have to tell you, I don't have itchy dogs. I don't. And so I feel for people, I don't have itchy dogs, knock on wood, you know, their skin is great. I mean, keep all of the stuff out of the body that you can. And then I have a couple of products. It's called, getting ready to go back in the store, Derma Pooch, which is a shampoo bar. It's a shampoo bar. And people are like, I don't like the bar. This is a great bar to shampoo your dogs with because it foams up really nice and it rinses out really great. So I have an anti-itch bar. I have an essential oil that you can put on, you know, the skin as well. But again, these are just the what you can do on the outside. Most of this itching is coming from the inside. So we got to keep those dogs extremely clean.
It is. And it is getting really hard to find clinics where people can take their pets in for a procedure, even like spays and neuters, without getting a whole round of vaccine. So I go through this whole, you know, puppyhood with pets where we're doing minimal vaccines and we do titers and we do all this, and then they want to go get them spayed and neutered. And it's really hard to find places where they can go without getting updated, getting another, you know, another round of vaccines. It's really, really getting frustrating.
And I personally, Dr. Jasek, in the environment we have today, I don't think that's going to get better. I think that's going to get worse.
I don't think so. That's why I keep thinking like, I need more space for my practice. Because
you need to train.
Because I'll do the spays and neuters, or I'll find somebody that will.
Let me ask you a question, because I don't really know the answer to this. Are there, so if you get your veterinarian degree, mm-hmm. Does everyone have to go through the same schooling, or are there holistic veterinarian schools where you can get a degree, or do you have to go through that indoctrination and then try to snap out of it and go through a holistic training?
Yeah. If you want to, you know, practice medicine and be able to prescribe and, you know, do everything that a vet can do, it's, you have to go to a conventional school, and they're all conventional. I mean, you might get a few, there might be a few electives along the way in more holistic medicine, but pretty much you have to be trained conventionally and then go out, you know, on your own and get, you know, there's plenty of education on the holistic side once you have your degree. But in order to practice veterinary medicine legally, you have to go to the conventional school.
When I look at it that way, it is no wonder that we see this 52% of cancer in dogs. It's no wonder.
Right. Because it's all, it's really all about pushing Big Pharma's agenda. That's what medicine's about on the human side, conventional medicine on the human side and on the pet side. You're pretty much programmed to make money for Big Pharma. And, you know, the vets make money too, but it's not about pet health on the conventional side. It's about the bottom line and what can we scare people into doing every year for their pet that is going to make a bunch of money for the clinics and for Big Pharma. And that's what medicine is. It's what it's come down to. And it's pretty sad.
Well, and I don't think it's human nature to say risk versus reward. So when we are saying, well, I'm going to take my chances that my dog is not going to get heartworm, right? I'm going to feed them a species appropriate diet. I'm going to keep that yeast down. So, you know, the mosquitoes and other things aren't attracted to my dog. I'm going to do the natural flea and tick spray like I have called Flea Flicker, right? It's an essential oil. Instead of putting these things on my dog, I'm going to take that approach. I'm going to keep my dog as healthy as possible and not put those other things in my dogs for the just in case, right? The just in case. I'm not going to do the just in case way. I'm going to do everything I can to keep them as healthy as possible because I know what the other way is. I've been doing this too long, seeing too many dogs. And I can't do that to my dogs. Like, you know, putting a flea and tick collar on my dog, never. Oh my God.
That's awful. They're awful. And they don't even, I don't think, do anything except irritate your dog's skin where they are. I don't think they really even help prevent the fleas and ticks. But you know, as far as things like heartworm go too, it's important to remember that if you support your dog's immune system and you keep your dog really healthy, your dog's immune system can actually eliminate those larvae. It's not like if your dog gets exposed, it's just guaranteed to get heartworm disease. Your dog's body can eliminate those, just like it can eliminate the leptoorganism, you know, or even parvo, or even some of these viruses. If you keep your dog's immune system really strong, it's going to be able to handle these exposures. And that whole concept just gets overlooked in conventional medicine too. Like, there's no immune system in the body. You know, the body cannot manage disease at all. Like, that's what it's designed to do. If we quit messing with it and allow it, you know, to be healthy, then it certainly can. And, you know, I think another comment, you know, as far as where people get their information, you know, talk to somebody that has clinical experience. Like you and I, Dee Dee, we've been doing what we do for a long time. And we base our knowledge and what we recommend based on what we've seen in the real world. So I think a lot of marketing is theoretical. They look up, you know, there's an ingredient, they're going to put some product out with some ingredient, and they look up the potential effects of it. And, oh, well, this could help, you know, with itching and all this stuff, theoretically, but there isn't any real world experience, because what happens in the real world is very different than what happens even in labs. Even if there's, you know, research studies on products, how is that research done? Is it done in a lab or is it done out in the real world?
Again, it always goes back to getting that immune system up, keeping your dog's system as clean as possible, keeping your system as clean as possible, giving it the right things to do what it's created to do, and you're going to be okay. Find Dr. Jacek at ahavet.com. And if you want to start your dog on a species appropriate diet, get that kibble out of their body. It's full of toxins, full of carbs, full of sugar. Go to my website at rawdogfoodandco.com. We have a great learning center. My delivery page just got updated yesterday. You can see all sorts of things. We're trying to make it easier and easier for you guys. It's really not that difficult. It's just getting rid of the kibble and starting your dog on a species appropriate diet. Because here at Raw Dog Food and Company, your pet's health is our business. And friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.